And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Well, if you're in Bootleers Point, you're doing fine. If you're in London, you might not be feeling quite so good. So, sorry, Sue, Adrian. So it goes, and good luck to Britain, Scotland, Ireland, however they decide to progress. And good luck to the United States, because we're right behind them in confusion and possible despair. Hey, a little editing for you from Coast Community Radio. This is Carol, your host for Arts Live and Local. Well, I have a fabulous show lined up for you. It is some of these stars, my favorite, and you can add an S to that too, but we'll be starting off very soon. But before we get to the Astoria Music Festival, I wanted to play you a tune from David Jacob Strain, who is going to be playing at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center tomorrow night. And have a listen, stay tuned, get yourself ready for a great show, a great weekend, and a good life.
Take a picture, something you'll have to remember. Don't worry if your hair's right. Pull the trigger, we're losing the light and it's already gone. Yes, it's already gone. When the cops came, they would not enter. They went next door and asked your neighbor for the spare key. Your mama called me. They broke the lock, but there was no hurry. You were already gone. You were already gone. People ask me if you suffered. I tell them one thing or another. Don't they know I can't protect them? It's only fear that misdirects them. You were already gone. The dark room in your apartment, the metal trays and the enlarger. Pull the paper from the silver to see your face there in the ether. Already gone. You are already gone. Sometimes I wonder why you suffered. I tell myself one thing or another in your fear. fever when you stopped breathing. Did you know if you were dreaming or just already gone? You were already gone. You were already gone. The devil got it wrong. You were already gone. You were already gone. You were already gone. The devil got it wrong. You were already gone. Come here, baby, let's take a picture. Something you'll have to remember.
Well, that was David Jacob Strain, and I'm having a little strain of my own right here, but David is going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock. That's in Long Beach. Enjoy if you are there. Well, I've got some folks here that I would like to share with you because I'm feeling very generous and because they've been very generous in coming in. So, my favorite Astoria Music Festival person.
What are you pointing at me for?
I'm pointing at you because if I'm going to share you, I actually have to have you on a microphone.
Oh.
I know people should be able to just see you because the personality is so strong, but Carrie Lewis is here with me.
What does
she mean by that? Hi, Carrie. Carrie Lewis, those of you who have been here at this time of year, have been listening at this time of year to the Astoria Music Festival, know that I try to get Carrie in here, and usually he is able to join me because, for me, he is the glue of the Astoria Music Festival. He actually has an official title, which is a little intimidating, that is the director of the Chamber Music Players. Is that really the name of the position?
I have no idea. It just appeared one day.
It appeared.
And it was attached.
And then that was it. And that was, you had your job for the rest of your life. Carrie is a magnificent piano player, and he does that also. He plays in many of the concerts, but he also is the director of the Chamber Music Players, and he brought one of his players, a clarinetist, who is being featured tonight, and that is David Hattner. Hi, David.
Hello.
David, this is your first time on radio, on this radio?
It's first time on this station, yes.
Okay, so you are a KMUN virgin, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
She likes to say that.
You passed the test. Carrie is not.
Only took 5 seconds.
It's easy. We make it easy for you. So the festival's been going on now for a week. Is that right? We started
a week ago tonight, I think, in Portland.
That's right. You started in Portland. And actually, they did it in Portland to practice so that they would be perfect when they got to Astoria, isn't
it? Yeah, it didn't work.
Well, we almost, except for that missed parts 2, 3, 4. But that was the opening celebrity recital. And the two other musicians from that, one of them is here in the wings and will be joining us on the air. That would be Sergei Antonov on cello. And then Elizabeth Pitcairn was on violin and Carrie on piano. So you live where?
Portland.
And Elizabeth lives?
Los Angeles, I think.
And Sergei?
New York, when he's not in Moscow.
Okay, so what happens, for example, when you are going to play this together? Do you actually ever come together and rehearse it?
Just before.
Okay, so you're all basically such consummate musicians. You know what you're doing, but is it tricky anyway?
Always.
Yeah. Seriously, I would think it would
seriously.
Be.
Because we've learned our parts, more or less, but, you know, I, for instance, like to give myself time when I have to turn the page or something. I'm just sort of gently reach up and turn the page and then go ahead. They don't, you know, you sort of have to get used to everybody's quirks. And everybody has a slightly different angle on what's happening, so it has to be worked out.
So right before the concert, when you're trying it out together, you discover the quirks.
We discover the quirks.
I see. Well, to the audience, it sounded terrific.
Good. Well, so. it's like a relationship, you know. It's like you've been... writing somebody online, and, mm-hmm. and you think, well, let's meet. And then you still have to sort of work things out.
Yeah, for the next 30 years, usually. That's the difference. You have like half an hour or something. And tonight, that was a week ago, and lots of fabulous stuff has happened since then. I am thrilled that I've been able to be at, all of these have been at the Liberty, except one, which was at the church, and that was sold out pretty quickly.
And you couldn't get into that one?
No, and besides, I had a rehearsal for...
Oh, aren't you involved in something happening this weekend?
Yes.
I feel like I should interview
yes,
her.
Yes, thank you.
What are you doing this weekend, Carol?
That's so nice of you to ask. I am singing with the North Coast Chorale.
Oh, are they doing something?
Yes, we are singing in Il Trovatore.
Oh, is that happening this weekend?
Yeah. And let's see, who might be in that? Oh, yes, all the stars from the Metropolitan Opera.
Oh.
And that is
right
happening.
Here in Astoria?
This is unbelievable, folks. This festival is unbelievable. And every concert is worth attending. I personally, I really believe that. If you happen to favor chamber music, or you favor opera, or even film, I went to the film last night, which we expected kind of, it was a great silent film with live music, and the musicians sit there and play for an hour and a half straight, all the way through. Wow, they got a good appreciation. So Il Trovatore is on Sunday. We're going to work backwards just a little bit, because there's more next week, too. Saturday, there is the symphony at 7:30, and that we will talk about a little bit later when we bring in everybody else. Also, Saturday afternoon, Sergei's annual happy hour we'll be talking about later. So that brings us to tonight.
No. You left something out.
Oh, God, how silly of me. Troll Radio Review.
Absolutely.
Coast Community Radio's monthly live radio for children of all ages. So, Carrie, this is your gig, too. What
it's
are you doing
gig.
With them?
Tomorrow, Nancy Montgomery is going to come in and very energetically tell us 5 Aesop fables.
Oh.
With accompaniment of piano and French horn. And also, we will tromp through the story of Babar the Elephant together with music by Poulenc. It's interesting. His kids, his nephews, one time when he was visiting with them, they put up the book, the children's book, and said, here, play this. And so he sat down and sort of made up some stuff while he was telling the story. And it was such a good idea that he actually wrote it down, and it's published.
So... how is that going to work? Are you actually going to be playing behind Nancy, or playing and then she'll speak, or
both?
Have you figured that
both,
out?
Both. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You had the
we had the rehearsal this morning. So.
Oh, okay.
So we sort of know what we're doing there.
Okay, that's going to be a blast. And here's something to put in your heads, folks, because we've been having Troll Radio at Fort George. This week we are at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, and please bring. Food for the food bank, and or a check for the food bank.
Well, you could bring food for the performers too.
Yeah, there you go. What's your favorite? Let them know. As long as we're ordering in, right? So now that brings us back to tonight. We'll remind you of all these things, but tonight is the Festival All Stars, an evening of chamber music, And the clarinetist who is sitting here with us is David Hattner, whom I obviously had not met before. David, you are the music director of the Portland Youth Philharmonic.
Yes.
And has an excellent reputation. How long have you been in Portland?
8 years.
So you came just to do that?
Yes. The Portland Youth Philharmonic, as many people will know, is the oldest youth orchestra in the country. We'll start our 93rd year in the fall, and I'm only the fifth conductor, so it's a fairly important position.
Wonderful. Where were you before?
I was in New York City.
Making music?
Yes, I was a freelance musician, mostly as a clarinetist, and adding conducting a little bit more every year.
So now you're working mostly with youth, meaning what age?
Mostly age. Junior high and high school.
Okay, how's that?
Oh, it's pretty remarkable.
Challenging?
It's worth a trip down the hill to hear them sometime.
I know they're good, but how is it to work with them? We won't tell them it's okay.
They are the most exceptional group of young people in this part of the country, and not just because of their musicianship. They excel in all field. It's a wonderful training program, not only to study music in a serious way, but to prepare to study other things, which most of them, in fact, go on to do. We've sent, in my 8 years, more than a dozen students to all of the Ivy League colleges, and that's sort of a regular feature. I now have at least three of my graduates in medical school.
And, oh, wow.
they fan out, and they are remarkably accomplished. All of them go to college. All of them graduate high school.
So they keep music more as an avocation or hobby, but there are some, maybe, who...
Yes,
continue
in fact, one of the alumni from my first season, Keith Bunke, is now the principal bassoonist of the Chicago Symphony.
Wow.
So we do have plenty within a small percentage who pursue music who go right on and make it their profession.
Nice. So you've been here before. How does that work? Do you just know each other and Carrie reaches out and pulls?
Yes.
Because you've got... Oh, I didn't even realize Sergei is playing cello tonight, but I don't know the other people, except this.
Well, Sue Welty is the horn player that I was talking about. And Sue, I knew in Atlanta when we lived there before we came here. There's a festival in Bellingham that happens shortly after this festival, and there's a whole contingent of Atlanta people who go up to that one. And I had sort of thought it'd be fun to get them in here on their way to Bellingham.
Great.
But it only worked for Sue. But okay. I'm glad that she's here. She's a lot of fun.
That's terrific. And Jeffrey Thayer is on violin. He's the concertmaster at San Diego Symphony. He's been here before. Yeah. And James Van Valkenburg?
James Van Valkenburg. He was here last year.
Okay.
He's the principal. Last year, he was the acting principal violist in Detroit Symphony. And as a side there, his mother was my wife Dorothy's first cello teacher.
Oh, wow.
So,
sweet.
So we knew each other. I mean, we've known him since he was pretty tiny.
Right. So you, since this is basically your concert, you get to pick.
I get to pick.
The people you want to
I get
play
to pick.
With you. And what gets played.
Within reason, the string players are pretty much my choice. The wind players, we have to sort of work around who's coming for the symphony and so forth. David lucked out. He doesn't have to play the symphony. He's just doing...
I would love to play the symphony, but I was very happy when Carrie called me. He's one of the first people I met in Portland.
Oh,
that's
great.
Right. We were right up at the beginning, yeah.
Well, and you are coming from Portland as opposed to Detroit or Atlanta, so it is... Or Russia or New York. So it's a little bit easier, I suppose.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, excellent. And the program also you get to decide on?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us what we're going to hear and why.
Especially why. Why, Carrie?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, David wants to know, why did you choose this?
Well, the Dvorak quartet that we're going to play tonight is just really, well, because it's all beautiful music. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dvorak is fairly well known. The Dohnanyi Sextet, which is for, I think you're going to play us a little bit of that in a minute, is for a rather odd combination of instruments and strings, piano, horn, and clarinet. We can't think of another piece that has this combination of people. There might be one, but we don't know it. And you know, in the last couple of years, we've played a certain amount of Dvorak and Dohnanyi. So people who've been here for a while have heard mm-hmm. music by these composers in the past. Now, but the piece I most want to talk about tonight, because it's the oddest of the lot, mm-hmm. is the piece by my colleague in Atlanta named Charles Knox. And this is a piece called 2002, and it is subtitled Se Mordna Lap.
I know what that
two.
Is.
Oh, tell us what it is.
It's a palindrome.
That's right. It's a palindrome.
Yes, I know that because of Baby Gramps. He sings the palindrome song, Se Mordna.
Say that again.
Se Mordna Lap.
Yes.
There you go.
That's
oh
it.
My God.
So this is Se Mordna Lap number two. Se Mordna Lap number one was 1991.
Okay.
You notice the palindromic.
Of course, 1991,
yes,
2002.
And 2002.
Yes.
I pointed out to Charles that this was the closest the two palindromic years would come together, and he really needed to write a 2002 before
so
it was too late.
Did.
So he did. And the shtick for this is that he wrote it for my wife, Dorothy, and me, for cello and piano, and blank.
Oh, wow.
And so what happens is that anytime we tell him we want to play this with so-and-so or such-and-such, he writes out a part for us. And it's totally different from any of the other parts. So it's not just a transcription, it's a new piece now every time we do it with a different person.
I'm looking at this here. It says Charles Knox, born 1929.
Yes.
He's not quite your contemporary.
He's getting on up there now, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
We saw him the last time we were in Atlanta, but he's still getting around very well. And
that's terrific.
His music is just so clever. So the piece starts at the beginning,
personal,
and it goes all the way to the middle of the second movement, and then it turns around and comes back out.
I can't wait to hear
this. And it's really kind of a challenge to see if you can figure out where it turns around. There's certain loops in there where you think, aha, that's it. But it was just a little loop that it went. That's why it's Se Mordna Lap, because there's lots of palindromes in. It's not just one big palindrome.
Wow. So, yeah, that's the S at the mm-hmm, beginning mm-hmm. end.
Otherwise it would be Mordna Lap.
Yeah, otherwise it would be Mordna Lap, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I love the way life does this. My family and I were just talking about palindromes because my father was crazy about them. And we came up with all the years and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
we forgot about 2000 in Roman numerals.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Too late now. Mm-hmm.
That's actually, you just pronounced the
I
year 2000.
Yes.
Wow.
Anyway, so far I'm not sure I can remember it all, but we've done it with violin, we've done it with French horn, we've recorded it with a French horn, it's with bassoon, which is rather a cute thing, a sort of buffoonic thing, a trumpet, which is quite noble. What we're doing tonight is with clarinet and viola. But it can be played either with clarinet or with viola. We just played it on the radio in Portland yesterday with just clarinet. So
So you're doing both?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow, this is going to be fantastic. Are you going to tell us at the... There's no way you're not going to stick your hand up in the air to show us it's the middle point?
One time we thought about all turning around and just facing the other way when we got to that particular point. But
yeah, I'm sure.
It didn't really
work
out.
David, what do you think about that? That would be fun, huh?
Well, you know, we're only being paid for the music, not for choreography.
I see. Yeah, it's above your pay grade. Well, I would love to put on something either. By the way, where is Dohnanyi? Never did know how to pronounce that name.
It's just Dohnanyi.
Dohnanyi.
I thought Dohnanyi.
So he doesn't...
I think it's first syllable.
So the Y doesn't...
The accent's on the...
Yeah,
first syllable,
yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And where is he from?
Hungary.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
His grandson was Christoph, who was the conductor for many years in Cleveland.
Okay.
And... Ernest, or Erno, or however you pronounce that in Hungarian, right. He actually died in Tallahassee, Florida. He was a piano professor at Florida State University at the end of his life.
Okay, now what do we have that we can play? We have a wonderful piece by...
Are you going to do that now?
Or we have this.
Yeah, let's do the Dohnanyi.
Okay,
yes,
so we have the...
This is going to be high-tech, folks, and I'm not sure how it's going to work, but...
You just have to tell me when you're ready, and we'll go with the finale of the Dohnányi Sextet.
Try it and see what happens. See if it works. Listening to music by Carrie. Why don't you pronounce it? You do a much better job.
You can do it.
Dohnányi.
Oh, there. Yes, that's right. Now we have our Russian speakers, and who knows what else they speak, but maybe we'll find out. I know they speak music, both of them. Thanks to David Hattner, the clarinetist tonight, who also, not only that, but he brought in that last piece of music on his iPhone, I think, because we didn't have it. So that's great. Now, I've got four people in the studio, and they're all performing on different instruments and in different ways. So, Carrie is still with me because I won't let him go. And I also have Sergei Antonov. Hi, Sergei.
Hello.
And Sergei has been here numerous times. Yeah, he's actually an honorary historian and definitely not a KMUN virgin. Ilya, you've been on the air also.
That's correct.
I know, because I will never forget the first time you were here, and I was mortified at my ignorance, because I actually asked Ilya Kazantsev whether he also, let's see, how did I put this? I knew he was a piano player, and I asked him whether he played piano all the time, whether he was able to, you know, kind of make a living at it or something. I knew nothing about him. However, fortunately for all of us here, Ilya has become a regular as well. Was it last year or 2 years ago that the Hermitage?
It was last year.
Just last year. They brought the violin player, too.
Misha Kaling.
And that was a treat. But we also had each of them. But this year is going to be a phenomenon that I am looking forward to. I'm going to find it. Here it is. This is happening actually Saturday night. Mm. We have Chopin, and we have Ilya on piano, and Sergei conducting. Have you conducted before?
Yes, and as people say, I'm slowly moving to the dark side.
Oh no, that's hilarious. Well, this should be very interesting. But that's Saturday night. In the meantime, we have tonight, you're playing cello with the chamber players.
That's right.
Can you have as many chamber players as you want, Carrie? I mean,
well, there are financial constraints.
Yes. However, a chamber group could be four, could be six.
Yes. Tonight it's six.
And how high up can it go and not become an orchestra?
I think they usually stop at around 9 or 10 or something like that. There is such a thing as a no-net. No, Nanette.
Yeah. right.
And then I think.
That would be.
I think that's pushing it.
Okay. But tonight we have the six, and it's a joy to watch a chamber group too, because there is no conductor, no dark side.
Sorry.
Except that. Somebody goes like that with their head. They nod and lets everybody know. Tomorrow is Sergei's annual happy hour, and it is indeed a happy hour. You never know what you're going to get, except that this year we do know. 1 year, your child showed up, your wife and child showed up at the happy hour, and it's always open to questions. But this is quite a program tomorrow. And Sergei on cello, Ilya on piano, and Carrie on piano, and there's only, as far as I know, one piano on stage at the Liberty. So, folks, if you do the math, you can figure out that Carrie and Ilya are going to be together on that. How's that going? Have you worked with Carrie before on a piano?
Yeah, we worked. We actually did it, I believe, last year. We played, believe it or not, with six hands on that piano. My wife also joined us, and we performed Rachmaninoff's piece, and so three of us playing, sharing the same keyboard. So this time it's just two of us.
Oh, so there's plenty of room.
Exactly.
It's not a problem.
Exactly.
The truth is that Sergei actually joined us at the very end of that piece for a seventh hand.
That's correct.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Like chopsticks or something?
No, I think I played like the last note.
Yes.
Just so we could say we had seven hand piano. There we go. So what are you two going to be doing together?
Rhapsody in Blue.
By Gershwin.
Oh, that's lovely. Arranged for piano four hands. Okay, and then Sergei and Ilya together are playing Tchaikovsky, which is part of the history. You know, there are people here who I don't know how this is possible, but they don't know you. So I always take it for granted, Carrie. I'm sorry I do that to you, because you're like my lifeline to the Astoria Music Festival. But we should say that each of them, Sergei and Ilya, has won the top awards in their instrument. And this is a tremendous opportunity to catch. I don't know if you're lucky, if you're smart, you're going to be coming to all the concerts. As a matter of fact, I heard someone say that on the radio this morning. If you have any brains at all, you will be at the concert. So that was kind of a surprise, but it was nice to hear. That was Thron Riggs, who actually is a bar pilot. So he's a smart guy, you know? And that's what he said on the radio today. So, Ilya, why don't you just give us a little bit of a snapshot of where you've come from, how old you were when you started playing piano. Is that the only instrument that you started with and kept on going with?
So I'm originally from Moscow, Russia. I was born there. And I started playing piano at the age of 7. The reason why I started playing piano because my brother was my older brother started taking piano lessons, but I started playing better than him within a couple months, so my parents decided that I should continue the lessons.
Did he stop at that point?
Yeah,
go out and play baseball or something?
Or something, right? Yeah, he became a ballet dancer.
Oh, yeah. Wow, cool.
Similar to baseball. Yeah, so, and then I also tried to play clarinet. I was doing pretty successful until I lost my teacher's clarinet, and that was the end of my career as a clarinetist. And then I just stick to piano.
Yeah, because you can't lose one of those,
lose,
right? It's a little too hefty.
Well, sometimes I play an organ, so yeah.
It is always curious to me, though, for both of you, although the cello is not a small instrument, it is carryable. But
did you see the picture on Facebook of him on top of Mount Hood with his cello?
I did. Oh, God. That is so exciting. That was just the other day.
A couple of days ago.
Yeah. You and?
Israel Nebaker.
And did he have an instrument, too?
Yes, he did.
Did you actually play together up there?
Yes, we did.
Yes. Okay. We just want you to know what kind of fun people have here. Now, how would you do that with a piano? You couldn't take it up the mountain, could you?
Unfortunately not.
No. Okay. So we'll keep you grounded. And,
yep. I can dive into the ocean with a piano.
And that's the end of the piano.
Yes. Still can take a picture.
But it sounds like something. A picture's worth 1,000 pianos. Wait, no. So then you went back to the piano, and then what happened? Did you love playing enough to just stay on it, or did someone have to kind of keep?
No, I think I was pretty easygoing kid, so if my parents would tell me go practice, I would go practice until they tell me to stop practicing and go eat.
It sounds like quite the life. Did you have friends who played piano?
Me and Sergei, we were actually classmates from the third grade.
Oh my gosh,
really the whole life. And we were studying in a special music school, so pretty much all of our friends were musicians.
Okay. So you didn't feel like geeks or something like that?
No.
Because everybody was. Did everyone achieve the high ranking that you two did and stick with it?
Not necessarily. We had a couple of classmates who just decided to stop music, and they dropped out and went on to do something else, you know. But as far as I know, majority of our classmates, and we're still, you know, in touch and we know each other, so everybody's doing something.
And did they also leave Russia? Or did
everybody's like
all over the world.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine that you play all over the world, but I'm wondering about living places too. Same thing?
Yeah. People go, you know, study. Somebody stays in different countries and
meets a beautiful woman. And there you go. Okay. So at that concert, you two are also playing Stravinsky. And then Sergei and Kerry are playing the Piazzolla. Okay, this is the Libertango, because we're at the Liberty after all.
We have to say something about that.
Please.
I had no idea. That's not why it's on the program, but.
Really?
Yes.
It is now.
That's why it's on the program.
Now that's the reason why it's on the program.
Yes, of course. We knew that all the time. I'm glad we had that conversation just like your rehearsals. But Ilya, you're also going to be soloing on the Rachmaninoff.
That's correct. Yeah, I'll play three simple preludes by Rachmaninoff.
I don't think of those.
So this program has. Have your happy hours always been this big a program?
Well, if you think about it, it's not actually long. It's
they're shorter pieces. Yeah,
they're shorter pieces. But what I'm trying to do every year is to give people variety.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there are people playing four hands and, you know, different people. And I'm trying to bring as much people as mm-hmm. we can. I remember starting the happy hour a little less happy, I think. it was a little more serious mm-hmm. with the larger pieces. But then I just thought, you know,
it's a happy hour. Absolutely. You know? Well, it's going to be a wonderful hour. Now, so this year, in addition to Ilya and Carrie on piano, you decided somehow or other to bring in a totally different kind of instrumentation. And that would be my last guest over here, who many of you know, because this is one of our esteemed local artists. Hi, Darren.
Hi.
Darren Orange is here, and Darren actually is the featured artist for this year's Astoria Music Festival. His work is on the cover of the program and also the poster, so that is quite gorgeous. And also, something very exciting, we mentioned Israel and Darren. They are two of the newest board members for the Liberty Theater, the Libertango Theater.
Great,
I
yes.
I think I'm going to call it that from now on. Yeah, which is very exciting, and we'll hear more about
sure.
that in the future. But what's going to happen at the happy hour on Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Liberty Theater?
Anyone's best guess.
Sergei, we have two redheads, or original redheads, I'm not sure here. And are you going to be, how is this going to work? Do you know yet? I mean.
No, well, we're going to be playing Stravinsky, and Darren is going to be creating a live, creating a painting during the music. And that was the whole idea, you know. We always keep hearing that music has a healing power and it helps people. But what was interesting for me is to see how it will influence the artist in the present time. Not, you know, not like you, okay, I listened to the piece, I really liked it in a month and sort of inspired me to create, but mm-hmm. rather live at mm-hmm. present. And as I mentioned this before, I think it's unique because, you know, if we're going to be done and then we're going to do the whole thing again, the painting is going to be completely different.
Absolutely.
So yeah. It's not, if you want to see it, you should be there.
Definitely. But Darren, have you listened to the piece?
I have.
Okay, so you have some sense of where it's going and...
Only where the music's going. I don't know where I'm going. But I'll figure it out.
Do you, let me rephrase that. do you usually have a sense of where you're going with your paintings?
I have a feel, but I have no preconceived idea as to the outcome. So it does take different directions intuitively and mm-hmm. more specifically as the beat or as the music plays.
When you're painting, do you... listen to music?
I do.
What kind of music?
Good music.
Good music. Oh, there's only two kinds of music. Good answer. That's right. Okay, you did well on that one.
So. I don't have time for anything else, right?
Do you have, have you decided what size canvas you're going to use?
It'll be a large format, so a 5-foot
okay.
canvas, so the back rows can see.
Okay, and you're going to put a mat down on the floor,
Person. Well, I could maybe do something like that.
Toss some paint out. And I've watched Darren work. I live with some of Darren's work. So.
The first couple rows might be in danger.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if this is open seating, so you can take that as you like, folks. But So this is tomorrow at 4 p.m. And have any of you ever done this before, done the music and art at the same time? No.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Because I think we did something years ago at the PAC. I think it was Roger Hayes.
It was. That was a great performance.
Yeah, it was an interesting, different. He was behind, and that was great. Okay, so this is tonight, folks, at 7:30 is the Chamber Music Festival All-Stars, and Carrie Lewis is, again, the director of Chamber Music, and he will be on piano. And Sergei will be on cello, and my earlier guest, David Hattner, on clarinet. And then tomorrow at 4 p.m. is Sergei's annual happy hour, and all my guests right now, Sergei, Ilya, Carrie, and Darren, will be on stage. And then in the evening at 7:30, again, Ilya and Sergei, boy, they get their money's worth from you guys. Well, I have no idea what they pay. Do they pay? No, we won't talk about that. But I did have a conversation with, a lot of these concerts are, it says, this performance is made possible through the generosity of and it's a particular person. And I happen to have been talking to the particular person who is the sponsor for this Saturday Symphony, and she said, when she was talking about it, she said, well, are the Russians available? And they said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, that's what I want. I want. So that was really sweet. She's a terrific person here. And then on Sunday is the opera, Il Trovatore, Verdi, and it is sung in Italian, and I'm sure that the principals will have perfect Italian, and some of the Portland singers as well.
How is your Italian doing?
Oy. I'm going to be practicing over the weekend, playing this over and over. You know, it's fine. I have a good ear for language, and, any language, actually. I can mimic. I can't retain it, but I can mimic. But when it is fast, blah. There's so many words to get out there. It is challenging. Folks, try it sometime and see what you think. But it's going to be absolutely gorgeous with Angela Mead and Richard Zella and Marianne McCormick, Cameron Schutza, Deandra Simmons, Jocelyn Claire Thomas, and the North Coast Chorale with Dr. Denise Reed conducting. Well, she won't be conducting on Sunday. She'll be singing with us. And then the vocal artists, the young vocal artists from Portland who are very good, and Keith Clark will be conducting. So, Sergei, how do you feel about this conducting business? I mean, do you like it?
I do.
Why?
I love it. It's a whole new world. It's a whole different instrument, and I'm in the very, very beginning of that way. So I'm always looking forward. I'm privileged that Keith gave me the possibility to do that. And it's a pleasure to work with the orchestra, and hopefully it's going to come together.
Well, I know you like reaching out and stretching, doing new things, clearly climbing mountains in the middle of the night and things. but I wondered about this because this is in your world. And so you can go back and forth, though, right? If conducting and playing, it's not like you have to.
A lot of people asking me whether I'm slowing down with playing, and absolutely not. It's just something that, you know, I would like to explore and, mm-hmm. and spend more time doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks good. It's very, you know, with the baton and all that. Carrie, have you ever thought about? No, not a chance. How about you, Ilya? Maybe
I thought of it, yes.
You thought of it. And that's as far as it got.
Yep.
Right? A baton looks a little bit like a clarinet, you know, so it might not
exactly.
work for you.
He'll lose it.
Not safe for you. So, well, we are thrilled. We also, don't forget, Saturday morning at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin. It's a delight. And one of the reasons I love Carrie Lewis is not just because he's a great musician, it's also because he has a great sense of humor. And I am very pleased to see that Sergei and Ilya, they're doing pretty well on that humor thing, aren't they? I wasn't sure. Russians, I don't know. Well, do Russians have good senses of humor?
Yeah. In general? Just us.
Just I rest my case, right? There you go. There you go. And coming up also, this is not the end of the festival, not at all. There is also, shooting way ahead, next weekend is the Eugene Opera is coming to perform Little Women, an opera in two acts, and that will be at the Performing Arts Center July 1st and 2nd. The first, Friday night, is 7:30. Saturday, the 2nd, is at 2 p.m. So all of these are all age. As a matter of fact, you missed our 10-year-old guest, singer, who was with Three Leg Torso, which was quite wonderful. And we also have Olivia Tsui is going to be, I'm looking for it here, and I'm not seeing it, but she is, there's a concert that she will be doing at the Masonic Lodge, and you can find out everything that's going on with the music festival in two places. One is
AstoriaMusicFestival.org.
It is org. Yes. Okay, good. And the other is CoastRadio.org, and that's because KCPB, which is our sister station, very far away, is broadcasting the entire festival. So there's nothing like being there in person. I have to say that. It's so exciting and exhilarating. And you have the visual as well. But not everybody lives here, obviously. And you can tune in. First, take a look, see what the schedule is. You've heard a lot of that today. And then tune in to CoastRadio.org, KCPB. But it's on our website. You will see it. If you live locally and you can't get to all the concerts, you can tune in at 90.9. Here, Olivia's conducting the Young Artists on Wednesday the 29th. That's this coming Wednesday, 7:30, and that will be at the Masonic Lodge, Masonic Temple, Masonic Great Hall, you can call it whatever you like. It's right there on 16th and Franklin, right across from the Performing Arts Center. What else do we need to make sure all our people know about you or about the...
One thing that if you do come to the concert and happen to be in the lobby, make sure to pick up the new CD that is actually featuring Darren's work, because it's another way to support the festival, because we're giving 50% of sales directly to the festival. And it's only 300 copies printed, so you need to, if you need to pick up yours, they hopefully not going to be there for long.
Cool.
Right, exactly. We should sell out, but I have my name on one of them. I didn't have any money on me, but I have my name on it. But I do have one of your older albums, Elegy, and that is cello by Sergei Antonov and piano Ilya Kazantsev. Close. So I was going to play a little bit of that for you, and if we still have time, I have a 1999. You know, your hairline is still the same, though. This is an album of Carrie Lewis with his wife, Dorothy, who is also a cello player, but I haven't seen her with the cello recently.
She's not in public anymore.
Well, she comes to to Astoria, so she is very much in public, but the cello isn't. So let's hear some music, and a big thanks to my guests. And Darren, congratulations for becoming part of this wonderful Astoria Music Festival, and thanks for your work. So your work is on the cover of Sergei's new album, and it's also on the cover of the program. And so keep a look, and come Saturday afternoon and watch the process, the music process and the visual arts process. Okay, let's hear a little bit of the Scriabin. My two of my guests, Sergei Antonov and Ilya Kasantsev, and you can hear them this weekend right here in Astoria at the Liberty Theater. Check it out, AstoriaMusicFestival.org or CoastRadio.org, and do join us. While I let you know what else is happening, I'm going to put on some Grieg. Last spring, that must have been last year because it's spring again. And this is Dorothy and Carrie Lewis. Thanks so much to my guests, Carrie Lewis, Sergei, Ilya, and Darren. This has been great. You bet. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to play you more of this next week. But in the meantime, I do want to let you know that the Coaster Theater and the Barn Community Playhouse are having plays tonight. The LCDP is at the Astoria Library. Cannon Beach Galleries all weekend is plein air and more all over Cannon Beach. And the Adrift has great music coming up all week, including the Moonshine on Sunday and Monday and Pretty Gritty on Tuesday and Wednesday. I think the Moonshine's going to be in on Sunday on Coast Community Radio. Tolovana Arts Colony tomorrow with Storyteller from Cameroon to Gearheart, Gideon for Mukwe, and the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, David Jacob Strain, whose music you heard, Movies in McClure Park. Redmond's in Skamakawa has Jerry Ledke, and the Boca Marimba is at the Coaster Courtyard in Cannon Beach. Woohoo! Long Beach Grange, Open Stage, Waikiki Concert on Saturday night at the Confluence Amphitheater and Clatskanie Heritage Days. The Sunday Market is featuring Greg Park, Fort George, Miche, and Brass Bed. And that's all we got time for. Thanks, folks. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org. Thanks for being here. Make peace, make music.